Good.
Good. Let's pray together. Father God, we just thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of looking into your word. We thank you, Lord, that you challenge us through your word and you encourage us through your word. We thank you for your great love. And we thank you for the help that you give us. I pray, Lord, that you would strengthen my voice to give this message this morning and open our hearts, our minds, open our spirit to your Holy Spirit and speak through me to all of us so that we can be changed more into your image. And we pray it in Jesus' name. And everyone said,
amen.
Amen. And amen. You know, we have certain sayings in our English language, and we call them idioms. I imagine all languages and all cultures have those things. And when we say them, everyone knows what we mean, even though in and of themselves they may not make sense. But when we say them, we understand them. And some of them even contradict each other. But we say them anyway. And it's just part of our language and part of our culture. Have you ever said, out of sight, out of mind? Have you ever said, absence makes the heart grow fonder? Which one is it? But when we say that, we know what it means, right? And in certain situations, one applies in certain situations. The other one apply. The more things change, the more they remain the same. If you were an English speaker and you were trying to learn the language and you came across that, you'd go, huh? What does that mean? The more things change, the more they remain the same. But we know what they mean because we've grown up in this culture. How about variety is the spice of life? Yeah. Is that one true?
Amen.
My advice to every husband when that comes up is if your wife says, why are you looking at other women? Don't say variety is the spice of life. Otherwise, you will end up in counseling. And it won't go well for you. And not only that, the truth is, we really can't live on spices anyway, right? We need solid food. Today I want to talk about a biblical truth that we quite often quote, and we say it. You know, we have the same thing in the church. You know, we quote different scriptures, and they almost become like idioms to us. We say it so much, we know what they mean, but we don't think about them sometimes. We just say it because they've become part of our vocabulary. When Reggie was talking about this young woman that had lost her husband, it made me think, it reminded me, in every Memorial Day, I think about the friends that I served with who didn't come back. We had a guy I had a couple of guys that I was in flight school with, and one of them I flew quite a bit with, not only in training and flight school, but also when we got over in the country. And he didn't come back. And after we got back, years later, I got in contact with his sister. And she was his little sister, and he was her hero. And I was thinking when Reggie was talking about this woman, when her husband got killed over there, her life changed. When Nancy, this my friend's sister, when she got the word that her big brother had been killed, her life changed. And I've never really met her in person, but I've spent hours on the phone with her. And every time we talk, she cries. She still remembers after all these years her big brother that didn't come home. Her life changed. But I want to talk this morning about a God who doesn't change. God says that he doesn't change. And we say quite often from Hebrews 13:8, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, right? It's almost like one of our Christian idioms that we say so often, but lots of times we don't think about the things, the aspects, the character of our great God that doesn't change. So this morning I want to go over some of God's attributes. And we're going to be taking it, strangely enough, through the book of Malachi. which sounds weird because it was weird to me. When I was praying about what to preach on, I kind of felt like I should preach from one of the minor prophets, but I had no idea it would be Malachi until I really started praying about it. But as we look through the book of Malachi and we look at some of God's attributes, these attributes of him are his character. It's who he is. And though God does things differently from time to time, you know, Jesus didn't heal the same way twice. When God gave strategy to David and his people, the Israelites, on how to fight the enemy, it wasn't the same each time. He does things differently, but he himself is never different. And I'm so thankful for that, because when I think about the situations in my life and the situations that we've been talking about this morning, this young woman, my friend's sister, we have things in our life that change. Spouses die. Sometimes we lose children. Sometimes we have an illness. Things change in our life. It's so good to know that we have an unchanging God that we can count on. He is always the same. He is always someone we can trust. He's always someone we can count on. He's always someone we can hang on to. Amen? So I think the reason why God does things differently, even though he's not different, he's the same, is it keeps the enemy off guard, number one. The enemy never knows what God's going to do next. And I think God takes great delight in setting the enemy up and then zapping him. But it also, I think, helps us, because God knows that as human beings, we get in a rut sometimes. You ever been in a rut? You know, there used to be a commercial on television about the guy who made the Dunkin' Donuts. I don't know if you remember that. Every morning, I get up and make the donuts. Every morning, I get up and make the donuts. At least he had a variety of donuts to make. But he was in kind of in a rut, you know, because every morning he did the same thing. And some of us, we have jobs like that. And sometimes we feel like we're in a rut, right? So God does things differently. He shakes us up. So he allows things in our life to shake us up a little bit so that we don't get bored and we realize, hey, we really do need him. You know, we can't count on our job, or we can't get comfortable in our house or whatever. You know, we can't rely on things that he doesn't want us to rely on. He wants us to rely on him. He doesn't want us to forget about him. So the first one we're going to talk about is from Malachi chapter 1, verse 2. It starts off by saying right at the beginning, I have loved you, says the Lord. God's love never changes. God's love is perfect. God's love is complete. God's love is always there. We can always count on it, and it doesn't depend upon what we do. He just has chosen and decided to love us. One of the things I want to find out when I get to heaven is, why on earth did you choose to love me? There's no logical reason why you should pick me to love, because I'm not lovable. And yet, he's decided to love us. In fact, 1 John 4, 7, and 8 tells us that God is love. It's who he is. Love emanates from him. Amen? And just for emphasis, a few more verses down in John 4:16, it repeats it again. God is love. I think he wants us to know that he's love. He's emphasizing it. If my voice is crackly, please forgive me. I'm still fighting this thing. So, God loving us is more than what he does. It's who he is. And I am thankful that that never changes. I am thankful that it's who he is. And in Malachi, unfortunately, his love wasn't being returned to him by the people. God tells them he loves them, and you know what their response is? Oh yeah? How do you love us? Boy, is that sad? I mean, these are his chosen people. These are the ones who are supposed to be representing him on the earth. These are the ones who are supposed to be serving him. He says, I have loved you. And they say, how have you loved us? Have you ever thought about how God loves us? Scripture says he loves us with an everlasting love. Jeremiah 31:3 says, one of my favorite verses, I have loved you with an everlasting love, and therefore with loving kindness I've drawn you to me. I'm so glad when I was so clueless and discouraged one day, I was driving in my car and God drew me to him. He showed up in that little Volkswagen Rabbit as I was cruising down the interstate. And it was almost like a whirlwind in that little car. And God was demonstrating his love for me when I didn't even realize that he knew about me, much less loved me. When tragedy strikes, do we ever wonder, does God really love me? What about me? Why me, Lord? I imagine this week, there are a lot of people thinking that down in Texas, or in the Ukraine, or in Buffalo, New York. All of us have things, situations, when we're tempted to say, in fact, the devil, I guarantee you, will whisper in your ear if something happens, God didn't love you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, God says he loves you. What about this? And he's trying to get us to think, maybe God doesn't love us. Don't entertain those thoughts, folks. God's love never changes. Then he asks, in verse 6 of chapter 1 of Malachi, where's the honor that I deserve? Why don't you respect who I am? Can you imagine God has to ask his people that? That they're not honoring him the way they should? It's easy to see in the world, the nations that are falling away from God. It's easy to see in our nation as we fall away from God. It's easy to see all the others and how they don't honor God. But he's talking to his people here. Why don't you honor me and give me what I deserve? And they say, well, how have we showed contempt for you? In verse 6. How have we not respected you, God? I hope we never get into that place where we've backslidden and don't even realize it. And even when God reminds us of it, we have an attitude. God basically tells him, here's how you're not doing it. You're not giving me your best. You're giving me secondhand stuff. You're giving me the leftovers. You're giving me the stuff that's damaged. He said, would you give your governors that? Would they be happy with the leftovers? You give it to me. And I'm your God. You think your boss would be pleased with your leftover time and your leftover effort? You call your boss sometime and say, listen, I'll try to get there at noon. Well, you're supposed to be here at 8 a.m. Well, I'll try to be there by noon. That'd be leftovers. He gets even more serious, the Lord, with his people. He says, you might as well shut down, look at verse 10, you might as well shut the doors of the church. Why bother have worship services if the rest of the week you're not even going to respect me? If you're going to give me the leftovers, why bother? It gets even stronger than that. Verse 14, God says, if we promised him our best and give him less, we'll be cursed. That's pretty strong. God's love for us doesn't change, but he respects us to love him back. Are we loving him back? With the best that we have? Another thing that doesn't change about God is his sovereignty and his authority. I love that song we were just singing. Our God reigns. It doesn't mean the weather. It means he's in charge. He is sovereign. He created it all. He's got a right to do what he wants with it, right? The earth is the Lord's and all that's in it. Some woman comes up to you and say, my body, my choice. Tell them it's not your body. God created you. He's got a right to say what you do with your body, and he's definitely got a right to say what to do with somebody else's body that's inside of it. Why? Because the earth is the Lord's and everything in it. And that includes us-ins and you-ins and me-ins and them-ins. Includes everything and everybody. Malachi 1:14. At the end of the verse, God says, I am a great king, says the Lord Almighty, and my name is to be feared among the nations. And who does he challenge first? You know, if you're going to give your kid a spanking, and they really need it, you say, son, come on in here. Now you know I love you, right? This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you, right? And if you're the kid, you're going to be thinking, it's not going to hurt you. It's going to hurt me. God tells the people he's loving, then he's going to spank them. And I think we're all getting spanked in this one. He starts off by challenging the leaders. Those who are supposed to be teaching and leading the people closer, in a closer relationship with him, closer to his word, closer to serving him. If you're in leadership, God holds you to a higher standard. So if you are a leader, are you willing to look in the mirror, go to the Lord and say, Lord, would you show me where I am not doing it your way? Would you show me where I have pushed aside your sovereignty and said, we've always done it this way. This is our tradition. This is how I think we should do it best. These are the programs we should have in our church because we've always done it. You know the drill. As a leader, we should always be going to the Lord and saying, Lord, we did it this way last year, but what would you have us do this year? Lord, are we organized in this church the way you want us to be organized? If it's different, speak clearly to us, Lord, and give us the courage to change and be more concerned about pleasing you than pleasing ourselves or the people or bowing to our fears or whatever it is. And then I want to challenge the rest of us, because all of us lead something. Amen? Either our family, our place at work, or even our own lives. Are we willing to do the same thing? Do we forget that he's the king? We say, you're our Lord and our Savior. Another one of those things we say a lot in Christianity. But is he really our Lord? Did you think this was in Malachi? I didn't until I started digging into this. God doesn't change. God's the king forever. He's the king of kings forever. He's the Lord of lords forever. It will never change. Many have tried to challenge it. They lose. He wins. Third thing that doesn't change about God is his faithfulness. There's an old hymn, Great is Thy Faithfulness. I didn't realize it until last night or this morning. I was singing. I happened to be singing that, and I started thinking, wow, That old hymn says a lot of the things that we're talking about today. Maybe we can sing it as we end the service today. God brings up the covenant to his people in Malachi chapter 2, verses 10 through 12. Let's read that. Malachi 2, beginning in verse 10. Have we not one Father, the Lord says? Did not one God create us? Why do we profane the covenant of our fathers by breaking faith with one another? Judah has broken faith. A detestable thing has been committed in Israel and in Jerusalem. Judah has desecrated the sanctuary of the Lord. He's desecrated the sanctuary the Lord loves by marrying the daughter of a foreign god. As for the man who does this, whoever he may the Lord cut him off from the tents of Jacob, even though he brings offerings to the Lord Almighty. Even though he comes to church and worships and makes sacrifices, if he's been unfaithful, I'm not receiving those offerings, God says. Jewish men were being unequally yoked. God had told them, don't marry foreign women. What were they doing? Divorcing their Israeli wives and marrying foreign women. Huh? And then they were coming to the temple and worshiping. God says, what are you doing? I'm faithful. We got a covenant. I'm keeping my part of the covenant. But you're not keeping your part of the covenant. Did you know faithfulness is one of the fruit of the Holy Spirit? Galatians 5, 22, 23. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. That's what we hope is growing in us so that we can be more like him. That's who he is. He's faithful. In Deuteronomy 32:4, Moses sings this song. It says, he is the rock, his works are perfect, and all his ways are just. He is a faithful God who does no wrong. Upright and just is he. To be faithful means to be true to your word. To be faithful means to be loyal and trustworthy and dedicated. Doing what you said you were going to be doing. Doing what you're supposed to be doing. God always does that. And he wants us to try our best to do that too. Joshua 21:45. I'm going to go through a couple of scriptures real quick here. Joshua 21:45. Not one of all of the Lord's good promises to the house of Israel failed. Every one was fulfilled. Psalm 33:4. The word of the Lord is right and true. He is faithful in all he does. 1 Thessalonians 5:24. The one who calls you is faithful, and he will do it. 2 Timothy 2:13, even if we are faithless, he remains faithful. Consider that one. Even if we don't do what we're supposed to do, he's always doing what he's supposed to do. Do a search one time. Here's another challenge for us. Do a search one time on God's faithfulness through Scripture. You'll be there a long time. Another attribute of God that never changes is his justice. Do you know God is a just God?
Yes.
Some people like that, some people don't. If you're doing what you're supposed to do, you're thankful. If you're not doing what you're supposed to do, you're going, uh-oh, that's not good. Look at verse 17 of chapter 2. You have wearied the Lord with your words. And here's their attitude again. Talk about having an attitude. How have we wearied him, you ask? By saying, all who do evil are good in the eyes of the Lord, and he is pleased with them. Oh, where is the God of justice? Have you ever been tempted to think that? I have. Lord, why do all the corrupt people, the people who are causing so much hurt and damage, why are they getting away with it? Why are they getting rich? Why are they not put in jail? Why are they let go? And the people who are trying to do good, they're the ones sitting in jail. They're the ones suffering financially. I think it's normal to think those things. But don't ever accuse God of not being just. You know why? Because they're going to get theirs, folks. And they're going to get it. You know, sometimes we say, oh yeah, when they face the Lord someday, you know, they'll get it. I think that a lot of the ones we're watching now are going to get it. Sure. And we're going to be able to see it.
Yeah.
It's about to happen soon. Why? I was asking the Lord, why are we preaching this message this morning? It's such a hard message. It challenges us. And you know what? God told me he's fed up. It's about to stop. All this stuff, all this playing games, all this corruption, all this half-heartedness, he's had it. Now, I don't know when, because sometimes the Lord tells me soon, and that means a long time. But suddenly, God's going to drop the hammer. And it ain't going to be pretty, folks. I want to be on his side when that happens. Because it's going to happen, and it's about to happen. Some of the people that I could name, who we all know, who are on the news all the time, who should be in jail, we're going to see them fall. We're going to see them fall.
Amen.
So when we are tempted to think, where's the justice, O Lord? Why isn't it happening now? Instead of criticizing God, we should be praying, right? We should pray. We don't doubt your justice, God, but please bring it soon.
Yes.
Lord, those who are going against you and your word, Lord, those who are hurting others, those who are corrupt and stealing, those who are hidden and we don't even know about, you know, Lord, bring justice to them because you are a just God. How could God be weary? I thought God never got tired. Isn't he all powerful? You know what he was saying? He said, I'm tired of hearing it.
Right.
I am tired of hearing it. Oh, you're complaining. There's a difference between praying and faith and complaining.
Right.
These people were complaining. We, as his people, need to be praying. Look at Malachi chapter 3, verse 1. See, I will send my messenger who will prepare the way before me. And then suddenly, the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. The messenger of the covenant whom you desire will come, says the Lord Almighty. 400 years after this, John the Baptist came as a messenger. And then suddenly, in the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born of a virgin. The answer to God's justice. The answer to these people's prayer. The answer to us and our needs. The answer to every question that's ever been asked. The King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, born of a virgin,
yes.
Died, crucified, buried, and resurrected.
Yes.
Paying the price for our sins.
Yes.
Paying the price and bringing justice. And when he comes in next time, folks, it's not going to be to pay the price for sins. It's not going to be as a lamb. It's going to be to bring his justice.
Yes.
And that's going to be soon, too. Two more to go. You still with me?
Yep.
Amen.
You can do it.
God's mercy never changes. Boy, after I look at his justice, I am so thankful for his mercy. Look at 3b. Look at chapter 3, verse 6 at the end. At the end of verse 6. Well, look at the top one. It says, I, the Lord, do not change. That's what we're preaching about, right? So you, O descendants of Jacob, are not destroyed. God doesn't change. He is totally just. The way they were acting, the way we act, we should all have been destroyed. Everybody that's walked this earth should be destroyed. Because none of us are perfect, and God requires perfection. All of us have sinned and fall short of his glory. But, he says, you will not be destroyed. Thank you, Lord, that you didn't destroy me when I was living for the devil. Thank you that you don't destroy me now, even though I'm trying to live for you and fall short. If God wasn't merciful, none of us would be here. If God wasn't merciful, he would have destroyed Adam and Eve right there in the garden, right? God told his people, you've turned away from me, but because of my faithfulness, because of my mercy, I chose you, I've got a plan for you, and because of my mercy towards you, I'm not going to destroy you. He says, I got all this stuff against you. You deserve to be destroyed, but I'm not going to destroy you. And we go, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23. Because of the Lord's mercies, we are not consumed, it says. Because of his compassions never fail, his mercies are new every morning. That's another one we say a lot. His mercies are new every morning. Thank you, Lord, for your mercies, which are new every morning. I'm thankful. And because of his mercies, he lets us live. Because of his mercies, he sent his son Jesus. And that brings us to our final point. God's purpose never changes. Did you know that God has a plan for this universe? And as part of this universe, he's got a plan for this earth. And as part of this earth, that us and the earth, and we're part of that plan. He's got a plan for our life. Since before the very foundation of the earth, of the world. Before he laid the foundations of the world, he had a plan for you and me. He knew what we wanted to do. He knew when we were going to be born, where we were going to be born. He knew our DNA, what we were going to look like, and the plans he had for us. And even though we screwed up a lot, I'm speaking for myself, his purpose didn't change. He didn't consume me. His purpose is still there. When God decides on a plan, you can guarantee it will be carried out. And if we say, Lord, I know you got a plan for my life, but I'd rather do it my way. I'm not going to fulfill it. He'll say, okay, you die in the desert. I'll get somebody else to do it. But my plan's going to happen. His purpose doesn't change. Malachi 3:1 again. I will send my messenger who will prepare a way before me. Then suddenly the Lord you are seeking will come to his temple. His people were messing up big time. But he had a plan. Look at Malachi chapter 4, verse 1. Surely the day is coming, it says. I will burn like a furnace. All the arrogant and every evildoer will be stubble in that day. And that day that is coming will set them on fire, says the Lord Almighty. Not a root or a branch will be left to them, but you who revere my name, the Son of Righteousness, will rise with healing in its wings. His justice is going to happen suddenly. His plan is going to be fulfilled. Sometimes we say, when, oh Lord, when, how much longer? It may be a sudden. It may be this afternoon. It may be 400 years from now. But all he asks us to do is to love him back like he loves us, to be faithful to him like he's faithful to us, to thank him for his mercies, to pray for his justice, and to ask him to fulfill his plan through our life. So how do we respond to a word from the Lord like that? Do you feel challenged? I do. I think we can get comfort from Scripture. We can learn how much God loves us from Scripture, but I think Scripture is also a mirror to challenge us. And I think that sometimes preaching needs to challenge us. And I'll be honest with you, I didn't want to preach this message today. But I think it's time.
Yes.
I think God wants us to get out of our rut, if we're in one, and get serious about paying attention each and every day when we wake up in the morning. Okay, Lord, what do you want me to do today? Not just, I'm going to make the donuts. But Lord, it's me and you today. What would you have me do? I want to walk with you today. Please show me what to do, where to go, what we're doing. Direct my relationships today. Give me the words to say to the people I meet. Give me the attitudes that I should have. Show me what to watch on TV and what not to watch on TV, because the news will bring you down. God's purpose will happen. I want to be part of it. I know you do too. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, what a great privilege to be able to call you Father. In Malachi 1:6, Lord, you said, you asked the people, where is the honor due you? And in Malachi 2:2, you said you will curse our blessings because we have not set our heart on you. I pray, Lord, for myself, for everyone here, that you would search our hearts. That you would show us, Lord, where we have not pursued you. Where we have become lazy or in a rut. Where we have not honored you. Show us, Lord. And I know that even as you show us, you will encourage us to do better. You will give us the strength to do better. You will show us mercy and grace, because that's who you are. You will give us your love, and we'll be empowered by your love. We'll be compelled by your love, Lord, because that's who you are. And we confess our weakness to you. We confess our sharp-mindedness, our quick to forgetfulness. And we ask, Lord, that you would continually remind us of who we are in you, who you've created us to be, who we represent, and what our purpose is. Help me, O Lord, to accomplish the purposes you have for me. Help everyone here, Lord, to accomplish the purposes you have for them. Lord, where we're on the wrong track, bring us back to your path. And help us, Lord, not to listen to the voice of the evil one who tries to discourage us. Help us, Lord, to know that there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. Help us to know that with you we can do all things. Most of all, Lord, on that day when we face you, I pray we'll be able to say, we've done our best, we finish our race, and we'll hear your words. Well done, good and faithful servant. We pray that in Jesus' name. Everyone said,
Amen.
Do you have that song, Greg?
Yeah, I'm going to pull it up in a second, but I'm going to have
Okay.